Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. The Obama administration now is committed to supposedly, you know, religious freedom that's taking place in the world, but it seems like that's with the question mark. And they had a minister of religion that was working there, former U.S. House Speaker, former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich was talking about. That this is the opposite that's taking place. I mean, it is the opposite that's taking place in the world today. And we're at a place right now that if we don't shake off the religion, if we don't wake up and realize that Jesus has called us to follow him, that's it, period, which means to follow his ways, then whoever we're presently following, whatever darkness is being followed, will actually consume this nation. Mm-hmm. And so CBN has an interview with the, and he's talking about, and this was at the Clash of the Titans, where they come together with everybody, all the viewpoints that are going on about present day happenings in America and at Regent University. And you got to hear this because I totally agree. I mean, this is exactly where it's going. And so they're replacing the one who, there was actually a Baptist pastor, I guess, was mm-hmm. over it originally. I'm thinking, like, how could you be over with what's taking place in the religious freedom today? It's like, mm-hmm. my goodness, it's like it's totally against that. Christians are crying out. We're not even giving them asylum from right. from Syria and from Egypt, reportedly. Mm-hmm. And listen, this is just this. We got to really pay attention to this. But this is CBN News reporting on Clash of the Titans.
Speaker of the House and 2012 presidential candidate Newt Gingrich said President Obama isn't doing enough to protect religious minorities under attack. Gingrich took part in Regent University's annual Clash of the Titans. It's a political debate that took place recently. That's where we asked him about the administration's stand on religious freedom.
You look at the Muslim Brotherhood, which is burning down churches. You look at the radicals in Syria who have been beheading priests. Nobody in this administration, and frankly, nobody in our news media outside of places like the 700 Club and CBN, are willing to talk about the very real threat, something which, to his credit, Rand Paul has talked about, and that is that there is a war against Christians all across the region.
Gingrich's comments came just days after the U.S. Ambassador for Religious Freedom resigned her post. Dr. Susan Johnson Cook held the position for 17 months. President Obama nominated the former Baptist pastor to the post after it sat vacant for nearly 2 years. While she tried to highlight some violations, religious freedom advocates say she could have done more. Dr. Thomas Farr is director of the Religious Freedom Project at Georgetown University. He also served as the first director of the State Department's Religious Freedom Office from 1999 to 2003. Recently, Wendy Griffith spoke with him about the ambassador's resignation and the Obama administration's record of protecting religious freedom.
Well, Tom, you say the resignation of Suzanne Johnson Cook presents the Obama administration with an opportunity. How so?
Well, there have been a lot of critics of the administration's policy on religious freedom, including myself. Here's an opportunity with 3 years left in the administration to appoint a dynamic diplomat, and there are plenty of candidates out there who can really do something with this office, do something with the policy. A number of things have to be done to make that happen, but personnel is the first step in a good policy, so I think it's important that they move quickly and find somebody that, as I say, has some diplomatic experience, committed to religious freedom, and can turn this policy around, because it really needs it. We've got a big problem in the world, Wendy.
Why is standing up for religious freedom so important to U.S. foreign policy, especially right now?
Well, there are two reasons. One is it's the right thing to do. And that's something that Americans should not have to be convinced of. It's the first freedom, something we've stood for historically, not just for Americans, but for all people, not just for one faith, but for all faiths. So it's the right thing to do, and it reflects who we are as a people. But beyond that, religious freedom, if we can advance it around the world successfully, will have a couple of very important effects on our national security. For one thing, if you'll think of Egypt, for example, or if you like Pakistan, Iraq, or any of the other countries in the world that are struggling to have stable democracies, it won't work without religious freedom. And we have utterly failed to make the case to them. It's a very practical case. It has nothing to do with theology or your religion or mine. It is that if you can't get this religious freedom business straight, you're going to fail at democracy. If you want to undermine religion-related terrorism, you got to have religious freedom. We need to convince people of that because it's true.
Well, let me ask you this. How would you rate the Obama administration's commitment to religious freedom so far?
Well, you know, we have a new Secretary of State, John Kerry, relatively new. We want to give him a chance. And so what I have to say is not really his responsibility. But if you look around the world, it's difficult to think, or at least I cannot think of one country in the world where U.S. religious freedom policy has either reduced religious persecution or increased religious freedom. That's a sad record. And for the most powerful country in the world, a country that has touted religious freedom as the first freedom. So let's hope that with this new ambassador, with a new Secretary of State, that things will turn around. I want to be hopeful about it.
Dr. Thomas Farr, thanks so much for joining us.
With CBN News reporting right there, talking about beheading. For two years, our president left this very important office unmanned. And then after 2 years, and you can imagine if you pull God out for 2 years, you know, somebody standing up for Christians for 2 years, and you throw whoever in at the end of 2 years, and now they have 18 months. I mean, they're fighting a huge battle because darkness has taken a stronghold. And they're talking beheadings, beheadings, a war against Christianity. Susan Johnson Cook is the one that they appointed for 18 months, and she's they're saying that she didn't get anything accomplished that she wanted to get accomplished. And it's like, you start finding out, oh, I'm a figurehead. They're not really wanting my opinion here in the context of that. But they I think she was there about 16 months, they said. But for 2 years, it was vacant. How naive do we have to be? America, how naive do we have to be? Right now, you know, this is truly, if we don't wake up, the direction, this is not good. But this is enough for us to wake up to realize that persecution of Christians and Jews, I believe that was 75% of all religious persecution in the world, happens to Christians. And it's like, we need to wake up because now it's beginning to happen because of America allowing it to happen and even allowing it to happen even in the borders of our own country. He even says some are getting drunk at the meetings. They're getting drunk. Turn the page, show us. I was like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I mean, there was somebody I was spending time with just recently, and they were talking about just the religion that they had been encountered to and people leading, you know, portions of a ministry while they're drunk.
Yeah.
And it's just like, where is the fear of the Lord? Where is that awareness of that? This is not the gospel that Jesus said to carry out.
Right.
It's just,
and what you're looking at, this is, you're looking at people fleshing out. Everything's about themselves. It's idolatry, just like me. They were totally not caring about anybody else. And so showing up at the, I think they even had a church called a me church, something like an I church, something like
that.
Yeah.
Not going there.
But you know, a lot of people are like, what? It's about me? Oh my goodness. It's all about me. Jesus. And, they were not taking communion in a holy way. All of a sudden, the things that were holy of the Lord, they just weren't taking them in a holy way. There was just like, okay, it's time for the whatever. And he's like, it's amazing how people get in task modes and all of a sudden they're taking holy things and they're treating it so unholy. And it's like, it's better for you not to take communion in front of folks if you're doing it in such a task mode. It's a holy moment. It's a holy, and understand you're doing more damage than good. I'm sure the Lord's going, don't bring my name up. Real quick, 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 take my name down. And they were taking communion in an unworthy manner, resulting in weakness, sickness, and early death. And what it was they weren't even discerning the reality that this was the body of Christ. They weren't even realizing they were in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they were dishonoring and disrespecting Jesus. He said, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. Mm-hmm. The reason why Jesus takes it personal, because it is personal. When you didn't think about them, you didn't think about him. Mm-hmm. When you treated communion, which is the representation of his sacrifice, unholy, you treated the very thing that brought us in, the symbolism of what brought us in, and what he actually did, unholy and frivolously. When he says, eat together, that was something that he wanted to fellowship with everybody. But you thought it was about you. And so now you went ahead and ate and didn't understand. There were some other folks that Jesus wanted to eat with too.
That's right.
Think about that. He wanted to fellowship with all of you together. Mm-hmm. But you were just thinking about, you didn't realize that Jesus wanted to be present. Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we're thinking, my goodness, I could see where there could be a lot of damaging gatherings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Some of your meetings are doing more harm than good. Some of your gatherings are doing more harm than good. How many meetings have happened where it was just a resource sucking from the body of Christ only to feel something somewhere else while it left that community high and dry in the context of it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. When the Lord allows these weaknesses and sicknesses and these things that he's not doing them, but he says, you know, many people are weak and sick and die early for they wrongfully discern the body of Christ. It doesn't sneak past him.
All right.
So when we invite this stuff into our gatherings, into our fellowship, when we begin to have damaging gatherings, when we are doing things unholy and in a wrong way with wrong motives, it all can look the same. But believe me, if you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, when he's going, many of you said to me, Lord, Lord, you know, it's going to be a dividing line there.
That's right.
A dividing line that takes place there. And I'm just telling you this because you may be going to a gathering place that's been so damaging to you. And all you're hearing is you need to go to church. 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 And the more you go, the worse you feel. And I'm telling you is that, first of all, you might not be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus and become part of the church. Secondly, you need to find a place that gathers who loves Jesus and loves you and loves his word and teach fully from the word of God. And you're going to thrive in that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who realizes and that you realize that you're all the body of Christ and how you treat each other is how you treat Jesus. And so going through this hardship, these things happening when gathering, just like, man, there's just so much sickness in that church gathering. There's so many things attacking that church gathering there. You start asking yourself, I mean, the enemy comes in and all of us can be attacked by anything. We have to fight our way through it and God restores us from our sick bed. But all of a sudden you can start wondering, we've got to make sure and ask ourselves the question, have we been having damaging meetings? Have we been having gatherings and everybody's just showing up and being religious while nobody's even thinking about Jesus amongst us? I've been going to this gathering for 6 months and I didn't even know it was a church.
Wow.
That's exactly. And somebody was bragging on that. A pastor was bragging on that because he wanted to be friendly and stuff. Like, if it's about Jesus, you know.
Should be obvious.
And you're saying then Jesus didn't show up for 6 months. Right? I mean, pretty much so. She didn't know it was about Jesus and it's for 6 months. It's like, that's not nothing to brag about. So not going to your church gathering or your meeting is not the answer because it assures that you don't care either. It's beginning to check yourself and see if you're in the faith. It's important for you to stop thinking about going to church and start being the church. And the fact that you are the church, you show up in reverential fear with the body of Christ and you gather as the church. Because going to church does not guarantee you no condemnation at the throne of God and access into heaven. Just showing up. I mean, you're going to have to become a child of God. And unity is so important. You don't want to forsake gathering because he tells us that it's a place that pleases God and it's the place of the commanded blessing in Psalms 133. John 17:23, Jesus tells us that's his whole goal, for us to be unified, Christ-centered, unified, in complete unity, because that's our greatest witness. But it's not unified with the devil. It's not unified with people who are Christ haters. It's not unified with people who are having damaging, who are hurting the body of Christ.
Right.
It's unified. That's, how is that going to actually help anybody? It's not going to help anybody. What's going to help them? We're unified in love. Love for God, love for others, and a desire to lead other people to do the very same thing. You see, it's not about you.
That's right.
I know they may have told you it's about you, but it's not about you. It's about Jesus. This is when you become born again, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and God eagerly desires to have communion with his Son's Spirit in you. he's in love with his Son. And by the way, you're supposed to be too.
Right.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to be, it shouldn't be like, I can't believe he's not in love with me. He's only in love with Jesus. Like, aren't you in love with God and Jesus too? This is a love affair. This is like an amazing thing.
Right.
Brought into complete unity, brought together.
To let the world know that you love them even as you love me.
Right.
See, it's about Jesus. It's about loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Never forget, Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 25, whatever we do or don't do to the least of these, we do or don't do to him. So when we gather together with people who are believers, we are being tested. That is our moment of testing. Do we love Jesus?
Right.
Because he says, if you say you love me, but you can't love your brother, you can't. It's impossible to do. Besides, he said you would be a liar.
That's right.
So when we come together, we can check ourselves to find out where are we in this love with Jesus by how we love the body. It's when we come together, that is a moment. What Paul said, he says, your gatherings, your meetings are doing more damage than good.
Right.
Going to church is doing more damage than good, he's talking about. Well, wow. You would say in America, and of course we would say, you know, be in the church, you won't have to worry about that, because wherever you go, it's going to, in the context of that, including if it's even a crystal cathedral that you're going to. And so he's saying, right, we got to remember, Jesus, it's our test. The test, somebody says, I can't believe somebody says you need to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. And it's like, no, they're actually reading that out of the Bible.
Right.
And how would you test yourself? Do you just sit here and like take a true and false question test? Do you try to memorize when the Lord's going to come back? How do you test yourself? Well, you test yourself by, do you love God and do you love others? That's your test. Everything hangs on that. All the laws of the prophets, everything. Everything hangs on these two commands. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's love. So when you show up, wherever you show up, you got to really define now what is the church, because you may be showing up a place that does more harm to the church than good, to the body of Christ I'm talking about. And it's going to be real difficult for you, and you're going to be really confused, because you're going to say, for some reason, you know, I love God, but when I come to this particular place, people are talking about everything but God, and it's like, I'm just so confused with the context of this. And this is what I believe Time Magazine reported, and definitely George Bonner reported, was that people are leaving church to keep their intimacy with God, to stay close to God. And of course, what's really going on, they're leaving a building or that they're gathering it. They're not leaving the church. The church is the body of Christ. This letter was written to the whole city that we're talking from. So you quit thinking that you're it. It's like the universal church, the regional church, the city church. We're all the same thing. That's why it matters that we get along. And but not just with those that are damaging the body of Christ. And he said, so your meetings do more damage than good. And it's amazing. You know, Lucifer understands this, but it's like the church doesn't understand this. And even Lucifer's followers understand this. But maybe they do, maybe the church does, but they want the same thing that Lucifer wanted, was God's glory. Because they use their gifts and distract everybody with their gifts. One said, a living, and there is no love there. There's the click thing, there's the division thing, there's all these different things that are happening in this unholy whatever is taking place. And it's like, you're doing more damage than good. Yeah, you used your talent. Yeah, you sang your song. But you're
killing people right now.
You're killing people right now. And it's just like, and we'll talk about fruitless wonders coming up in the extra hour, but it's like, you know, Oh my goodness, we'll talk about, I'm not going to waste any time with that aspect, but he's saying you're doing more damage than good in your meetings when you come together. So the biggest test of our faith, if we're right with God, is when we gather together. Do I think, am I preparing all week long or all couple days long, whatever, I'm fixing to gather with Jesus, and I want to show up and I want to have something to bring. I want to abide with God all this week, so when I show up, I'm going to have something to contribute. I'm going to think about what, maybe you guys are going to have a meal together or something coming up, and you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to just grab some whatever, and I'm going to put some effort and energy into fixing for Jesus, because whatever I do to the least of these of mine, of his, I do to Jesus. You know, I'm not going to take the best seat in the house. I'm going to sit back and wait where people land, and I'm going to take the balance, that whatever's left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that kind of context, you're thinking, because it's Jesus, whatever you do, you can check yourself if you're in the faith. In these meetings, he said, was doing more damage than good. And this is what he says. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 11:29, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, Jesus Christ, realizing this is his body,
mm-hmm.
not the bread, the people you're taking it with,
right.
that eats and drinks judgment to themselves. So if you're abusing a brother in the Lord, if you're gossiping and slandering and causing division and derision and factions and all, whatever, you know, all the childish, fleshly, carnal, mm-hmm. you know, juvenile, Lucifer behaviors that adults do sometimes, like you're causing damage, and you're going to have that's judgment to yourself. Hebrews 6:10, he tells us, God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people, and as you continue to help them. Well, guess what? God's not unjust. He will not forget the pain you caused his people,
mm-hmm.
and the water you didn't bring them, and the food you didn't share with them,
mm-hmm.
and the life you didn't lay down for them. Think about it. And you continue to do this.
Right.
And it goes both ways. Our church meetings can do more harm than good when we fail to recognize that we are meeting with Jesus. He'll be in our midst. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and loving them, and loving them as loving him. And the denying of ourselves to meet someone else's needs, and a brother's need or a sister's need in our gathering, you're actually doing that for Jesus. That's what's so cool about it. That's what's so neat about it. The sad thing about it is when you can't even tithe to Jesus, when you can't even... You can't even fix a meal of your best food or bring a nice dress for a lady or whatever. So, you know, something. It's always the hand-me-down. It's always the, I'm done with this. It's always the this is the last thing left in the pantry. I don't like this stuff anyway. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, man, what are you, that's how you're treating Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting the best seat in the house. Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing is that going to be at the throne room? And a shame it will it be at the throne room. But this should be empowering. It's like, oh, it is empowering, because now I'm realizing that there are some meetings that are empowering, good, encouraging, filled with love, but there are some other gatherings that are damaging. And if that doesn't change its ways, just change your place where you gather.
That's right.
If I ask God, where do you want me to relate? Because I want to love you and I want to love others. The answer is not leaving, but standing up for God in that place. Begin to be the church there in that place. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's his clear expectations for us. That's what he's asking of us. And get into the Word of God. Begin to abide with God. But he says very specifically, he says it in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, he says, but mark this. But mark this. This is the last, these are last day gatherings. And as we get closer to the last days, the gatherings are going to get more damaging and more damaging. So you have to find out the right ones. Not all that gatherings. But he says this. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, but mark this, he's saying, this is Paul writing to Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, looks like a normal gathering, but denying the power, have nothing to do with them. What's he saying? He says, listen, don't go to those kind of gatherings. have nothing to do with them. That's what he plainly tells us, have nothing to do with them. 2 Timothy 4:1 through 2. We'll talk about that in the extra hour, but understand, it's okay for you to go, listen, this is just not good. I need to get to a place that loves God. I need to get to a place where I can love others and love God. Where Paul's saying, listen, some of you say you're doing more damage than good. You're doing more damage than good when you come together. In 1 Corinthians 11:17, he says, he's going to give a directive. He says, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. And today, people think the answer is just have more meetings. Sometimes it's just go home and repent, and everybody get your act together, spend time with God, fast and pray. And then after we heard from God, let's come back together again and get rightly related to God and to each other. And so the biggest test of our faith is, do we love each other? Do we love our brother? Do we love our sister? Not do we love somebody who calls themselves a brother, not a Herodian or something like that, but somebody who is the body, who made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, weak or strong, that we're thinking about them continually, that when we make statements, when we do the things that we do in our lives and in our gatherings, are we taking the full body of Christ? Because he says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me.
Right.
And so in the last days, this is what I was just talking about, in the last days, the gatherings, many gatherings, are going to be very damaging. I mean, they're going to increase in the last days, very damaging gatherings, very harmful. So you're going to need to pay attention. You need to gather where Jesus gathers. You need to gather in a place where somebody doesn't say, you know, they've been going here 6 months and they don't even know that this is the church.
Right.
They didn't know this is a church. In a positive way.
Right.
2 Timothy, Paul's writing to 2 Timothy here, and I was just talking about there, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. He says, mark my word, mark this. He says, there will be terrible times in the last days. So these are the last days. This is what the last days will be like. So you can imagine what gatherings of coming together, the people that don't know Jesus, what it's going to be like, or people that are following the way of the world instead of following Jesus. This is how people will be in the last days, which could be pretty close to the last days.
Yeah.
People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, I really would like to come to the gathering today, but I got a ski trip I'm going on. And the ball game's on today, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then he says this, have nothing to do with them. What does that mean? That means if that's what's happening at the place that you gather, that is being called a church, realize that we are the body of Christ, we are the church, we're the building God, God's Spirit dwells inside of you. But where you do gather together, Jesus is in your midst. If, in fact, you're gathering with the church, not at a building called the church, but if you're gathering with the church. And that's why it's so important how you're treating everybody, because you're treating Jesus that way, as we're talking about. But he says, have nothing to do with them. So don't be all, I mean, nobody's going to pull you harder than a narcissistic, selfish, self-focused, idolatrous, ungrateful, I'm reading through the list, conceited, you know, gathering of people and make you feel terrible, the fact that you're just trying to find Jesus, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to find Jesus here. You know, George Barner reports that people are leaving gatherings like that just trying to keep their relationship with God. Trying to keep their relationship with God. They're not leaving the church. They are the church. They're just trying to find somebody else that loves God.
Right.
The direction that it was going. That's not every. I'm just talking about some. I'm not talking about all. But if you're really offended, it's probably, that's exactly right. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 2, he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. And he's talking to Timothy, so he gives a charge. And this is the charge, and this is where you should be gathering at. Under men and women of God who take this charge to heart, and in the fear of the Lord, this is the charge they take. Preach the word of God. Not some book you read somewhere. Preach the word of God. If 97% of the professing church in America are not even reading the Bible to make any decisions on it in their life, and 81% are not even picking it up, brother,
that's a clue.
That's a clue. Preach from the Word of God. Give them a reason to pick it up. How about you picking it up and preaching from it? Preach the Word of God. Then he says, be prepared in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means abide. Mm-hmm. It means abide. That's how, the only way you can be prepared is spend time with God, just like Jesus spent time with God. Spend time with the Lord every day, abiding with the Lord, so you can be ready in season and out of season. Then he says, correct, rebuke, and encourage. You have to understand, if you had a man or woman of God that was over that gathering, and they saw that stuff going on, I mean, they'd be all over it like white on rice. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are? Get out of that seat. You know, that'll happen here. And you quit eating that stuff. And that, what you doing getting drunk? I mean, they're going to deal with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you can feel comfortable that what's going on with a leader like that, that you can pray for that leader because God's going to reveal that to that particular leader. Mm-hmm. But understand that they're going to deal with something. And Paul's going, he's charging. This is my charge to you in the name of God, and the one that's going to judge us. Let me understand. Let me just review this one more time. Now you understand where I'm coming from and what Paul is writing here in 2 Timothy 4:1-3. He says, in the presence of God. I mean, he's writing this thing. He's letting it rip, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the presence of God and of Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing. In other words, he's coming back soon, brother. And his kingdom. I give you this charge, Timothy. Preach the word of God. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, and with great patience and careful instruction. In other words, do it in love.
Mm-hmm.
But do it.
Mm.
Do it.
Right.
I mean, it's so important. And you'd have a relationship, because if you come in trying to correct, rebuke, and all this kind of stuff, and that nobody knows who you are because you live this divided, cliquish life away from the very ones that God's called you to lead. They don't know. The enemy's filling their head all kinds of stuff about you.
Right.
They're thinking that you were this perfect person and all this kind of stuff's going on. And anything that comes out correcting, they're going to take it as they're like, oh, I'm terrible now. It's bad now. I wish I could be like him or been like her. But if you walk with them in humility, that they understand that this is God.
Mm.
If you teach them to abide with God, all they're saying is amen in their spirit.
Right.
And then in 2 Timothy 4:3, he says, for a time is coming. And think about this. He's talking about it. I'm talking about gatherings here. For a time is coming. For a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, like I'm talking about. They just want to put up with it. I don't even want to hear it. You're crazy. You're crazy. I don't even want to hear it. Instead, to suit their own desires, which, by the way, gets the thing that gets enticed in our sin nature, to suit their own desire, they will gather around them hirelings. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And if you're in an itching ear gathering, you better run for your life. Because every time you walk out of that place and your ears don't itch, you think about it. Mm. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And turn aside to myths. Sometimes going to church can do more harm than good. Sometimes going to your gatherings can do more harm than good. And we're talking about last day gatherings, what takes place there, and how people will gather people around them. And all they want is people that agree with what their itching ears want to hear, what their own desires want to hear. So to go to a church gathering where the preaching or the pastor says every word just right as to itch every ear of the ones who gathered him or her around them, as they carefully explain to them when they hired them what their expectations would be for them to do. And as the woman or the man with a crossed arm in the back of the room demands, will do more harm to you than good. It's not about just going to church. It's about being the church. It's not about just going to a meeting. You're going to go meet with Jesus. Begin to understand this is exciting. You're going to spend eternity in what you're walking out now here on earth. You want to go to a gathering? You want to pack up and say, you know, I want to go to a gathering where truly it is somebody has this charge over their life, and I'm going to put my family under that man or woman of God, and that's where I'm going to be, and I'm going to believe God to talk to me and care for me and speak to me and correct me and encourage me. Go to a place where they're loving God. And loving God means obeying God, loving each other, having sound doctrine and teachings that are teaching the Word of God, that's bringing correction. Yes, that will even rebuke at times of rebuke. Who will let your ears itch? Who will let your ears itch till they fall off your head? Mm-hmm. Who preach the Word of God so strong your spirit jumps, your soul repents, and your flesh dies, and your heart is at peace. Here's your to-do list. Wake up, get saved, if you're not. Begin to abide with God. Go to iabide.org. Begin to see, does your gatherings do more damage than good? And look for a gathering that loves God, loves others, and lead others to do the same. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow the Lord, and show up expecting to do everything you expect others to do for you, and function in that part. Yes, Paul said, your meetings do more damage than good. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on the Emerald Coast, WHB audience, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.